A lot of times I like to turn in the scriptures, and I'm not going to have you turn tonight with me so much. You can go ahead and find Luke 16 in your Bibles. That'll be where we end up. But I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject of a message from heaven. This touches me deeply. The message this morning touched me deeply. If you had that opportunity tonight, and I want you to think for this, for just a moment. If you had a moment tonight to hear from heaven that voice of that one person that you've lost that's gone to heaven, I want you to think who that would be. Some I may know the answer, some I may not. But who would that voice be that you heard from heaven tonight? Who would you hear? Who would you hear? And I'm going to try and be that voice tonight. Not my voice, but you hear their voice. I know I'm asking you to do something that's hard to do, because it's hard for me to think about it as well. But who would that voice be? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talked about, in verse 2, he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, Paul visited heaven. He said he didn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. Was this simply a vision that he had or what? But he had visited heaven. He said that some of the things he'd heard, he couldn't speak them. And I imagine some of the sights he saw, he couldn't speak of either. Because I'm sure if he would have spoke of those things, if he would have written of those things, people would have had such a desire to go at that point in their lives to save people. They would have such a desire, they would have had no earthly good here. They would not have continued on in the work that Paul was wanting them to continue on in. So Paul didn't give us much of a message from heaven. Of course, we understand that the Word of God is a message from heaven. Some of it is history. Some of it is prophetic. Some is revelation of things to come. Some are things that, you know, of course we know about the life of Jesus because of the Bible and the things that he experienced during his life here. Not all the things. The Bible says that we couldn't contain it in all the books of the world, probably, about everything that's gone on since the beginning of time for us. So Paul couldn't even speak of the things that he had heard. And then John, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 25, he gives us a picture of the new heaven and the new earth, or the new heaven and the new earth, and Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And the beauty that there's going to be there in that place. And I can't imagine that the old heaven is much different. I know it's a beautiful place. But none of these men have actually died. They've died now, of course, but at that point in their lives, they were both alive. And they were talking about experiences they had during their life. Then in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And verse 56, we have a very familiar set of scriptures. It's about Stephen, who was martyred for his faith, for martyred for testifying about the Lord. And Stephen said this just prior to being stoned. "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And then in verse 60, as he's been stoned, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Now you ask me what this has to do, what I told you the message was going to be about, a message from heaven. Of course, this is all a message from heaven. It's the Word of God. So it is a message from heaven. But what would your loved one say to you from heaven tonight? And you know, I thought about it, and I really don't have any place to go to give you those words that they would say. So I'm going to do something tonight. I don't know if it's ever been done or ever will be done again. I'm going to do something that I call parallel preaching. Because I do have the words of a man that were in hell in Luke chapter 16. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, we'll begin the message there. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, again, very familiar verses of Scripture. "Then there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." Now I want you to back up there. In the place of Lazarus' name, I want you to put your loved one's name there. That one that's in heaven tonight. Put their name there. Put their name there. Not that the relationship of them and Lazarus was the same. Their circumstances were different when they passed. But put their name there. "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." First off, I want to point out to you that your loved one was escorted by the angels into heaven. "The Lord is my shepherd." So your loved ones at the end of their life had a wonderful experience to begin off eternity. They were escorted by the angels into heaven. Can you picture it? Can you picture that? I can't even picture it. To be honest with you, it's like Paul said, I don't have the words to explain that. I can't even explain what that must be like. I'll see it one day. I'll experience it one day. But today, I really can't imagine that. But then it goes on in verse 23, and it says, "And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, of course, from here on out, it's mostly the rich man talking. So we know that hell is not a pretty place. We know that hell is not a place that you or I would wish on our worst enemy. At least I hope you don't. Like the preacher said this morning, we got to get over our indifferences. We got to let things go. There are people that I can name, and some of you would know them, that have done some terrible things to me in this life. But can I tell you, I forgive them? I don't wish hell on any of them. And I hope you're the same way. Because you've been done the same way by some people, I know. You don't get through this life without being mistreated, abused. It happens to the best of us. Yeah. It happens. But then Jesus said this, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Can I tell you, put your loved one's name in there. They're comforted now. The Bible declares it. They're in comfort. Of course, we're talking about Abraham's bosom here, and I understand that Abraham's bosom does not exist any longer. Once Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by God, Abraham's bosom was done away with. And we don't go into that holding place. Old Testament saints went there because they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And once he came, that place was done away with. But even then, the place they were in then was of great comfort. Your loved one is in comfort tonight. Those that were saved, those that were born again, they're in heaven tonight. They're in comfort. I can promise you that by the Word of God. And now we get to the message from heaven. "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." If you were here tonight and you did not know Jesus as your Savior, you know what your loved one would say to you tonight? Even the rich man in hell said it. Don't wait. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. You and I, we're not promised tomorrow. You know, I look in the mirror and I see more gray hair now than I see the brown hair that once was there. I wake up every morning, I feel something else that doesn't work exactly like it used to work, or I have that ailment. Oh, there's a bunch of amens going on around the room tonight. Hard to sleep when you're in discomfort, huh, Brother Don? But I realize that my time is approaching. As many of you realize, our time is approaching. Doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old, your time's approaching. This earthly life is but a short time, and it'll be over before we ever realize it. Malcolm said this morning, he said 37. I said, I can't even remember 37. It's been so long ago now. But your loved one would tell you, get it right today. Those grudges or whatever that you're holding, get over it. Give forgiveness where it needs to be given. As the preacher said this morning, just go on with life. Can't hold grudges. You know, there was a prayer request the other night, and it was for a young man that was giving his grandfather or great grandfather problems. And that burdened my heart. Because I wanted to tell that young man, settle your differences. You don't know when that time will come that you'll have to live with that. You won't be able to say to your great-grandfather, I'm sorry. Settle your differences today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Settle it today. Because our time is short. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be any day. Could be this very moment. Settle your differences is what they would tell you. Get your heart right with God. Be prepared to go. Then in verse 27 he says, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now here's where I have to do a little bit of parallel preaching here. Because, you see, we already know that the folks in heaven are not in torment. They're comforted. The Bible's told us that. So I would say to you that your loved one tonight is telling you, talk to those that are lost. We've all got family members that we worry about. We all do. Talk to them. I don't want them going into that place. You see, the rich man in hell didn't want his brethren going to that place. Your loved ones in heaven would say, this is a beautiful place. It's comforting here. It's wonderful here. Unlike what the rich man had to say about the place he was in. Tell those loved ones that heaven's real. But hell's real also. Then he goes on, he says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Your loved one would say tonight, you have the Word of God. You can read it at your leisure. It tells about Jesus. It tells about sin. It tells about the things to avoid in this life. But it also tells us about the things to seek in this life. They would tell you tonight, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Verse 30, the rich man said this, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What would your loved one tell you tonight? He'd tell you that heaven's real. Heaven's a beautiful place. Heaven's a place that you should desire to go to. Heaven is a place that you need to be prepared for because there's no second chances after death. And he would tell you, I can promise you this. They would tell you this. Jesus is real. You see, they'll tell you, I've seen the nail-scarred hands. I've seen the nail-scarred hands. I've seen the side that was pierced. I've seen those feet. I've seen it. But they have the Word of God. It clearly states that. The rich man said, just because they have the Word of God doesn't mean they'll believe it. But if one comes back from the dead, let me tell you something. Jesus did come back from the dead. How many people are out there today that don't believe? They have the evidence. They have the evidence. But they still don't believe. See, Jesus was speaking this. He said, if they don't believe my word, they're not going to believe, even though I come back from the dead. Friends, I don't know who it was that would be speaking to you tonight. But they would tell you, I miss you. I long to see you. Make sure you're ready to come. We're going to close. Father, thank you for this day.